Vineyard. What's vineyard? You know, as a denomination, we have a place in the Christ celebro. All right, we got a part. And vineyard is known. So John Wimber is the founder, that we bring church renewal. So interestingly, I'm also part of a United Church. Not sure why they welcome me, but I'm actually on the council there, but also pastor. And then Maria already mentioned we hook up with pastors and we try to bring together. But the other thing is about church planting. We just came off a young adult gathering. I think that's future, yeah. Look at all of them. There's so many power couple, single, that ready to just go off. Talk about that. Three of our speaker, Holly Kickoff. You need to get her notes. The foundation staff of our identity. All right? Young and old, you know, particularly new migrants, you know, sometimes like, oh, you know, I've been here 40 years. I can tell you, I'm not a true blue Aussie. But I love Australia. I love all, you know, all thing Aussie. You know, so Holly kicked off about identity, secure personally in the person of who you are in God, and then the collective, and then culturally. I haven't heard of that, but collective is where the church come together. So we just had communion. It's a common union in Christ because of his broken flesh, body. Just remembering Riley, yeah, you know, we church people eat the flesh and drink the blood. Oh, big no. But that's the thing, you know, we are together in this common union, the common communion that this brings us together because what Christ has given. And then there's the community, you know, Maria mentioned about Ephesians 4:1-3. We have common unity in the Spirit. And all God asks us is keep together in a bond of peace. But now we also have the commission. So what do we do collectively come together? It's because we got the good news and somebody would love to hear the good news from us. Either in the form of show and tell, you know, you show what Christ is like. You know, Augustine, I actually chat with my chat GPT. They say it's not from St. Augustine, but I was taught it was from, you know. Preach the gospel by all means. If you need to, use words. So basically, your life is the letter, the message of the messenger that have come to you. The Holy Spirit dwells in you, and you're radiating and reflecting the truth of Christ, which is full of grace and truth, not judgment, grace and truth. Again, all are welcome to come to the body of Christ. And then we have the forgiveness, you know, that's the key. So many of us have guilt, shame, but the forgiveness, again, that's what good news is. And the love of God. Joshua, can you... So I like to use scripture to go through, all right? So why is the good news so powerful? It's because the good news is about we are now given the opportunity to come under different rulership, all right? The current rulership before Christ came was basically the power of darkness. The high powers that influence the world system, the cosmos, and all that. You know, we don't really get too much choices if we get, you know, get immersed in the values and the culture of the world because there's stronger power behind it. But the good news now is, you know, Jesus came, John the Baptist started off it, and then Jesus and then Paul continue. Repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. It's so close, you can touch it. Repent is, come on, don't stay the same. Change. Move into the, move under the new management, under the new rulership, which is righteousness, peace, and joy. Who doesn't want that? So it's more than food and drinks. It's the radiation again of God's grace and truth, of righteousness, peace, and joy with yourself, with God, and with others. So how is the good news going to get out? That is the main responsibility for the church. And the church is not a building, it's not a denomination, it's a group of people called out by God, called out from the sin, called out from the world, called out from the flesh, and put together and say, you now have a purpose. You are now equipped with the Spirit of truth to go out and share the good news, to show and tell, to show and share. Next one, please. So I'm going to use scripture because it helps us to get through. So this is, if you're not here, it's all right, okay? This is just a series we put together. Christ is the foundation of his church. It's the foundation of our identity. It's the foundation of all that we do. If not, then it's a shifting sand, you know? And our world values is a shifting sand. You know, young people, if you kind of like, oh, I want to be popular, 1 million likes, you know, then I'm good. You know, that kind of, that's a shifting sand. But Christ, the foundation, the cornerstone, is not only for the church, it's for us. And then Christ members, we all get to play. We all have a part and role. All right? I use the illustration, if I hit my little toe, and I say, okay, little toe, you got no part in my body. I reckon if I hammer it, my brain would say, ow. So my little toe, me, have a part in this body of Christ. All right? And then we talk about the community again is an expression of God's love for us, an expression of the heavenly connection in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, for the world to see. You know, we had the Alpha, we're like, what kind of superpower with you? You know, a couple of them like, I want to be invisible so I can watch everybody. But God is not invisible. He put a face on all of us and say, go out now and show them what I'm like for you. What I'm like in the community that lives under the rule and reign of God. You look around again, you know, we kind of different color, different hairstyle. Mine is getting less, but, you know, still different. But we are all together. Why? Because Christ has brought us all together. That's the beauty of it. You look at the world so divided. People throwing bombs at each other, you know, or the, I don't know what you call it, but, you know, the social media, they just attack each other on the social media, you know, that kind of thing. They don't want to show their face, but they just attack, attack, attack. So now Christ's conversion is to build his church. How is Christ going to build his church? Through us. We are the hands and feet of Christ now. So to build his church, God knew new members. So we are all called on a recruitment drive because God needs one more person. And then when the one more person comes, God say, can you bring one more? Can you bring one more? And it's one on one. Each one, reach one. Each one, reach one. Okay? Even today, just make it a time. 1 week, all right? I'm going to share with someone the good news. Next, please. All right, I already answered that question. All right, next one. Okay. Romans 10 is very clear. I read it, all right? Actually, I'll get Maria to read it because... All right, please.
That is the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Romans 10.
So I want to make it basic because we have young Christian, non-Christian, and then old Christian. I'm just pointing at our national leaders here. So that's what conversion is. You have to believe in your heart. And then you kind of believe in your heart, you think about it, but you actually need to confess it because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So that's what faith is. So faith, all right, without works, all right, without, you know, faith without works is dead. So that's part of your confession. And part of your confession is also part of your conversion and the way you conduct your life. You know, so when you go to work, when you go to uni, high school, are you willing to confess and say, hey, that's not for me. I'm actually a Christian. I belong to Christ. So that's evidence of your belief, your conviction. And you say, no, no, no. And it's unto righteousness when you do that. All right. The heart belief resulting in righteousness. Simple as that. You don't have to do much. It's just belief. Jesus did it. I'll have it. That's it. But the confession of mouth helps you to be saved. So it's very simple in terms of helping people. It's like, okay, this is the message. Do you believe it? Some will say, I'm not too sure. But your faith is like, hey, I'll help you. You believe and God will take the rest, will do the rest. Next one, please. Maria is my spiritual helper, but actually my pastor, sorry.
For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them, Ephesians 2, 8 to 10.
So it's not like God is a slave driver and say, oh, I'll capture you and you be my slave. Now you go and do what I want you. It's very much God say, hey, I'm going to make you beautiful. I know you're broken. I know you don't know who you are. I know your parents mess up. You know, I know where you come from, but I'm going to give you a new beginning. I'm going to give you a new creation. I'm going to give you a new story. And you know what? You're going to have a significance because you're going to be my masterpiece. I'm going to put my stamp on you. And people will know, ah, that guy Harrison, he got the mark of Christ. He belongs to the Most High God. I can see the artwork of God. He's a masterpiece. In fact, he's a poetry in action. You know, the way he moves, the way he say things, you know. That's who you are. So you radiate God's goodness. And then God say, I don't want you to just be a showpiece on the wall. I actually got stuff for you to do. It's like, you know, like when you're 5-year-old and your dad say, hey, hand me the tool. And you're like, yeah, I'm helping my dad to fix the car. But all you're doing is like, here you go, dad. And that's what dad is calling. Is like, I'm going to do all the good works and get you to walk in it. And walk with Jesus. Walk in step with the Spirit. Who doesn't want that? That's the good news. And we all have the good news. Will you be the good news to the people around you? Good question, my boss say. Let's go to the next one. Okay. Evangelism is a big word that I was so scared for so many years. All it means is proclaim the good news. Okay? I know some people like to do it in random ball. Random ball is where like people hang out. And they stamp on the box and they're like, you go to hell if you do not. That's not the good news. All right? You don't proclaim the good news like that. You proclaim the good news is God is so good. Please come. The table is open. Come as you are. And when you come, you know what? God's going to give you such a gift that you're going to be so different. All right? Not a new model of yourself as in same old, completely new, like a cocoon or a tadpole, transform amazingly. That's what evangelist is, proclaimer of the good news or the one who bring the good news. That's why we walk and the feet are peaceful because we bring the gospel of peace to people. All right? So it's not scary. I'm really not very articulate, but I'm doing it to be the Australian when I go to the pub. You know, I pray for them. I don't use the word pray. Can I bless you? And you just sleep in Jesus Christ. You know, I met Darren at Coinda. You know, he's like, I don't know about church. I don't know about Christ, but I like to know, you know. And the statistics shown by someone that told me, 1 in 3, if you invite someone to something churchy or Christian, they will come. Because we are now in a generation where they got no idea about Christ, no idea about Bible, and they got no idea what we do in church. I love what Riley say, you know, don't eat the flesh and drink the blood. Don't talk like that. People like weird, you know. And witness is just, again, a lifestyle. You don't have to go to Bible college to be a witness. A witness is like, you know what? I was like that before I met Christ. I was swearing, I was smoking, I was drinking. Now, just hate alcohol. And you just tell that. That's your witness. And nobody can deny that. They say, oh, wow, that's your truth. That's great. I want to find out more. Next one, please. I'm really going very fast because I just drank some coffee. But... oh, you didn't put 3 shots. I was, yeah. All right, let's read it.
For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved.
All right, pause there. This is eternal truth. You know, Daniel brought up like this ancient book 2,000 years ago. Who's going to apply it? But that's the eternal truth. Anyone, you know, I hear story from my Muslim converted friend in the Middle East. They just have dreams. They're like, And then they call on the name of Nabi Yesa, Prophet Jesus, not even the Son of God. And then they get converted. They're like, whoa, now I understand Quran. You know, that's not a book of peace. But Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Thank you.
How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Have you been sent?
Yes, you have.
Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. So faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of Christ.
So we look at Ephesians 2:10 that says, okay, or 2:8 and 10, it is by faith through grace of God. All right? How are they going to have faith if nobody tells them, if they don't hear? You know, we are all very smart people now. The verbal communication is not the only thing. The body language. They're watching us. Believe it or not, people like, hey, you're Christian. They're watching you. What's your action? What's your attitude? Not just your words, you know? So go. It's not go as in you're sitting down and then you go. As you go, wherever you go. All right? So you are already sent. We are called out one. And then every time we gather, we scattered. When you scattered, you know, my brother Jamie will mix with different people. You know, Nathan is going to go back to the sunshine, peaceful Queensland, you know. So wherever you go, I can't go. But where I go, you can't go too. But all of us are going. Can you see each one reach one? Wherever you. Okay, next one, please. So I'm going through. All right. I put this picture because as a young Christian, you know, the hell brainstorm story. Have you heard of it? So the reality is, if people don't receive Christ, there is this eternal fire. We don't know what it looks like. And you need to understand, God is not sending people to hell. They are already on the way to hell, right? And God comes in and try to interrupt, intervene, and say, don't go that way. Turn. There's a better heaven. That's not the way. So I put that up there because it reminds me, you know, Jesus really loves the world. He doesn't want anyone to perish. It's not a guilt trip. It's not, you know, shame thing. It's not a fear thing. It's just something we do not understand. Is that a reality of hell? I know Maria came to the Lord because she kind of like hear devil horror story. And she like, if there's darkness, then there must be something else. And that something else is definitely going to be better than all the yucky stuff. John 3:16, yeah? All right, next one.
When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew 28.
So I didn't start with that because, again, a lot of guilt, you know, when you start with that, it's like, yeah, I haven't gone yet. But the goal is as you go, all right? The context is, so I go to Cambodia, I go to Indonesia, but as you go, again, you know, if you hang out with Kuinda, you know, old people, I go there. And then I go to work, I go here, there, everywhere. As you go, you know, it's like, hey, I got a commission here. Is this person needing a bit of touch of God? Can I have a casual conversation about Christ? You know, just think about it. All authority, man, all authority, heaven and on earth. So you're not going empty-handed. You're going with like, ooh, I got power, man. You know, you got stuff that Christ given you. So it's like you're not going empty, you know. And then Jesus is saying, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. So I talk about the communion. All right, this is all God connecting us. And then the community. Within the community, Matthew is the only gospel that mentioned church twice. And the church is not a building. It's a call-out gathering, assembly. So within Matthew, there's the Great Commission. So the church, a commission, is the custodian of the kingdom of God. Because in the two mention of church, in Matthew 16 and 18... Jesus say, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. Can you understand what you're doing? You have the authority of heaven on earth to unlock somebody's destiny to hell and say, no, I'll give you a free pass through Jesus to heaven to come and meet my Father because Jesus is the way to my Father. I can point your way to you. Jesus is the truth about my Father. And Jesus is the life with my Father. Come, I'll walk with you. Next one, please. I think that's the last one, but we'll see. Oh, another one. All right. Just to reinforce again, after the Great Commission, Maria is going to read it again.
Until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen, he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight.
So the picture I have is before Jesus goes up, all right? He's going up in a heavenly body. So he was in the earthly body. He got all smashed, crucified, and he was resurrected. And so he's like, "Hey guys, it's your turn. The burden is yours now. I've chosen you." Then you guys might like, "But we're not the apostles." All right? The application is, I've chosen the apostle. They keep going because the acts is the acts of the Holy Spirit, is the act of the movement of the church. So we are it now. All right? If you say, no, that's not me. But then John 15, 16 say, "You have not chosen me. I've chosen you. In fact, I've chosen you to bear fruits that will last, all right, to the glory of my Father." And then he say, "You can ask whatever my Father, he will give it to you." In other words, we are so equipped, we don't have any excuses, but we just need to go and connect. Connect the way you do. You know, I can connect with people that you can't connect because I'm so funny. See? You got it. All right? I'm just different. You know what I mean? And you are uniquely different. I mean, Miriam and Lily, the way you guys sing, sorry, not you guys, you sister act is so beautiful. You know, I can't do that. In fact, I'm not allowed to do it. Nobody want me to sing. So it's the empowering of Holy Spirit is dwelling in it. Again, it's the dunamis. It's not a power where like my charger kind of run out. It's a continuous, dunamis, everlasting. You don't have to charge it up. In fact, he will charge you up. So let's do it, all right? And I believe, all right, this is the context. Jerusalem. So a lot of people are like, okay, I'll just stay with Jerusalem. I think you need to participate in Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the world. And I love it, you know, when overseas students come. You know, I don't have to go to Korea. Korea comes to me. Hong Kong, praise the Lord. India, haven't been there, but Indian have come to me. So I've seen fruits for my interaction with overseas students in Flinders. That's the beauty of Australia. It's a melting cultural pot because Australia are so friendly, so welcoming, and so vast. It's a continent that, I don't know, you probably can put 300 million and you still got room. All right? That's the Aussie spirit we have. All right, next one. Maria keep looking at the watch. All right. Acts 10, all right, is Cornelius, non-Jew, so he's a Gentile. He's basically like, hey, there must be God. In all your generation, in all your friends, there are people praying quietly in their bedroom. There must be a God. I don't get it. The world is going crazy. Cornelius was in that space. Where am I going to find the truth? Now, God can appear in a dream to Cornelius or send an angel, but that will freak him out. All right? That will freak him out. So we need a human contact. That's how people are going to hear. And the closer you are, the deeper your impact. All right? So relate to your non-Christian friend. So be a Peter. Look up for the Cornelius in your life. You know? And how you do it is like, Lord, you know, this Chinese Mr. Miyagi say, I need to go find my Cornelius. Where do I start? Ask the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit is given to you as spirit guide, but also power and also truth, which means you've got tongue tied. Just let the Holy Spirit guide you. But be the Peter. Cornelius, there's Cornelius in your family, in your friends, or strangers in your neighborhood. Be open to that. Have a conversation. And those are what they call low fruit, easy fruit. You know, the harvest field is ripe. It's ripe. So the problem is not the harvest field. It's the lack of laborers. The lack of love of the laborers who is willing to like, okay, I'll go and buy a cuppa for someone. $5. Just have that conversation. You know, your neighbor, your school friend. Hey, can I catch up? This is really important. I'll buy you a cuppa. And you can throw in the cake too. There's a cuppa and cake. All right, let me pray. I think this is the last one. Joshua, is this the last one? Yep, okay. So, Father God, we love you, Lord. We are your community of your spirit. And you call us out, you call us out, you call us out because the church, the true church of Christ exists for the world. Jesus still coming for the world. The world is still perishing without Jesus. So it's not a guilt trip, it's a commission. We all have the commission. We all have the mission. It's not mission impossible because nothing is impossible with God. All things are possible. And God make it easy. So it's not mission impossible. It's all possible because God have equipped you. So would you hear today and this evening to like, hey, Lord, one Cornelius, that I'll be the Peter. I'll forget all my preference and I'll go. I will knock at that door. I will make an invitation. I will step out with boldness and courage to have that conversation about Christ. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Miriam and Lily. They're going to do two songs. And Nathan, obviously. And Joshua. And I'm going to stand up and pretend I can sing. All right? You guys are so good. I'm going to stand because I want to pray again and just, so if you're